Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today. You know, usually our goal here at WOSU and during All Sides is to help you learn something new, become better informed. This hour, we just want to make you hungry. We are going to talk about the PBS Film Breakfast Special, which airs tonight on WOSU-TV at 8 o'clock. It's a film that profiles some very unique breakfast joints around the country, and I mean joints. These aren't chains. These are just family-owned or individually-owned restaurants with character and regulars.
I wake up hungry. I want a breakfast.
Yeah, that starts today right there. You don't need breakfast. Oh, man.
The hungriest you ever are is in the morning.
The energy that gets you started for the day.
You gotta go big with these breakfasts, right?
And if people are in good moods in the morning. They haven't had time to be in a bad mood yet.
Breakfast is the excuse to sit and have time to.
I'm a breakfast person. I love breakfast.
To me, I think it's an important meal.
If I don't eat it, I'm very grumpy.
I gotta have breakfast. That's a must.
I'm a breakfast girl.
It's the most important meal of the day.
Important meal of the day. The producer of the film is Rick Seaback. Rick, welcome to All Sides.
Thanks very much, Mike. Good to be here.
I have to admit that when I opened up the envelope and put your film into the DVD player, I said, oh, geez, a film on breakfast? How exciting can this be? But you hooked me right away. I mean, it was really a very compelling story that you told. Why did you choose to do a film on breakfast, though?
Well, you know, I've done a bunch of shows for PBS, one on hot dogs, one on cemeteries, flea markets. I try to find subjects that everyone is an expert on, you know, and things that people feel comfortable talking about. And who doesn't feel comfortable talking about breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
I do sort of have this predilection to sort of celebrate. There's small family-owned businesses, and it's where I think. You know, you feel the most American. You feel the most human when you're in a place where the owner's there, and you know they're trying to please you and make you feel comfortable. And it amazed me how many times people in the show say, "I come here because it feels like home," and I think that's what we love. That's what when we go out for breakfast, we want to feel comfortable. We want to get some good food, and we want to feel like we're at home. Because breakfast is something you usually eat at home.
That's right.
But, going out is a treat, and you want to carry that home feeling with you.
Rick Seaback, he's the producer of the PBS film, which airs tonight on WOSU, called Breakfast Special. In it, you profile a number of small restaurants, breakfast-focused restaurants around the country. And you start with Cartwright's Maple Tree Inn in upstate New York.
Yeah, it's sort of like Brigadoon or, Shangri-La or something. It's only open 2 months a year. And when I first found out about it, someone sent me 8 years ago, actually, a woman said, you should know about this place. It's in rural New York. It's about 5 miles north of the little town of Angelica.
Now, where is that? Because in New York, north of the Bronx is upstate. So where is Angelica?
I mean, you want to go considerably west. It's
okay.
It's sort of in the western part of New York, in the center of that western,
so Rochester,
chunk of New York.
Buffalo area out there.
It's actually about 60 miles south of Rochester. A lot of the people who were there the days that we were at Cartwright's Maple Tree Inn, a lot of them were from Syracuse and Rochester.
I see.
But this place is way out in the country. It's on County Road 15A. You take 15 for a while, and then you get on 15A. And it was really just the road, I think, that the Cartwrights farm was on.
And they serve one item, correct,
for the most part? They serve buckwheat pancakes, all you can eat, with homemade maple syrup. They do serve eggs and sausage as well. Mm-hmm. But they serve that all day long from 6 a.m. till 8 p.m. And people come from all over just to have their buckwheat pancakes, which were stupendous. And they make the maple syrup in the basement, so it's real. They tap the trees in the backyard.
The image of the pancake flipper. She has basically a pitcher, like you have a beer pitcher from a pub. It's filled with batter. She has two of them, and she just lines up these pancakes on this huge skillet, and then, she's a master.
She is a master. We were amazed the day that we were there shooting. The people in the editing room were like, wow. And we actually consider it one of the great interviews of all time because she keeps those pictures going and she flips and she talks all, you know, and never misses a beat. She's perfect at it. And so that's really great. That's Rhonda. Her maiden name was Cartwright, but she's now Rhonda Amadon. Rhonda Cartwright Amadon. She sort of, you know, is the first pancake maker in the morning. Later, her nephews and, you know, all kinds of people from all branches of the family come and help. It's very much a family business since 1963, but only open for about 9 weeks when the maple sap is running.
Yeah, how do they – is this their primary source of income or is this a hobby for them?
No, they actually have a dairy farm.
Okay.
But I think part of the dairy farm every year had been taking care of, you know, making maple syrup at that time of year. And they made maple syrup, and apparently they shipped most of it to Vermont. I said it was kind of kind of fun because I'm sure we were looking at buying it as Vermont maple syrup, although it was made in New York State. The patriarch of the family, Mr. Cartwright, decided he wanted to try and sell it there. And if they made pancakes, maybe people would buy their syrup to put on their pancakes. And it just became a local institution, and it's you know, a place that people travel lots of miles now to get to. And it's usually that March-April period, you know, just as the weather starts to break and the sap starts to run, they start making pancakes.
How many restaurants did you visit?
Well, actually, we visited 17 restaurants. Mm-hmm. There were only 8 in this show. Made a decision while editing. You know, these stories are so much fun. Let's not cut them all down to, you know, 2 and 3 minute quickie stories. Let's let them breathe a little bit. And so we have enough for another show. So we're already starting to work on Breakfast Special Part 2, Revenge of the Omelets.
And you did profile 2 restaurants here in Central Ohio, Skillet in German Village and the Best Breakfast and Sandwiches restaurant in Westerville. And we'll talk to the owners of those two establishments coming up in a little bit on All Sides on WOSU. How do you find these places?
We find them by hook and by crook. You know, I start doing reading. Actually, I found Cartwright's Maple Tree Inn because someone sent me an email 8 years ago, and I copied it and put it in a folder in my computer, thinking one day I might do a show about breakfast. But I also, you know, wander around the internet, I think like most people would do if they were doing some basic research on a subject. And in the process of doing that, I realized there are bloggers out there who know a lot about local places to go for breakfast. And certainly there in Columbus, I quickly found Breakfast with Nick, mm-hmm. which is a blog done by Nick Decker. And I sent him, you know, a response to one of his posts. And I said, listen, we're making a show about breakfast. You write a blog about breakfast. You know, decide which places we should go to in Columbus and come along with us. And, you know, I sent that as sort of, you know, sending out a little fishing expedition, and he nibbled and said, sure, I'll do this. Mm-hmm. And so that was great. And actually, we did it in a couple different cities around the country. We did it in Portland, Oregon, where a guy has a blog called Breakfast in Bridgetown, and he wrote a book, a guide to some 120 places to eat in Portland, Oregon. It's a big breakfast town.
Yeah.
And we also went to a Chinese place in Chinatown in San Francisco called Hing Lung, where they make a rice porridge called juk or juk. There I found a woman who writes a blog called Food Ho's Foragings, and she was great, and she helped us make contact, actually, at the restaurant because it was a little dicey. There's not a lot of English spoken there.
What's the most unique? Some of the food that I saw, the sweet potato duck hash or the egg Florentine, which is an egg in a nest of spinach at one of your restaurants. What's the most interesting breakfast food that you found in your travels?
Wow. I think that would be impossible to say because I think the whole deal is that breakfast is this incredible combination of the food, the place, the people, you know, the attitude. And it's hard to say one of them is more unusual or better. The eggs Florentine seems to be something that people, when they watch the show, it looks really good. Mm. Making a nest of spinach and putting an egg in the middle, and then the guy throws in a couple of ice cubes before he puts a lid on it and sort of steams it all, sort of poaching the egg and poaching the spinach at the same time. And then he puts mushrooms and onions and stuff on top, and then hollandaise on top of all of that. So it was a pretty delicious meal. The duck hash was right there in Columbus. Yep. I mean, it was at Skillet. And they have really wonderful variations on old favorites. And they've sort of made that their, you know, calling card. And that's, I think, why Nick wanted us to go there to see what, you know, the imaginative things that can be done at a place, you know, just with a little bit of imagination. So, that, you know, they have the breakfast risotto, I think, which makes everybody sort of sit up and listen. Mm-hmm. You know, it was slightly sweet with caramelized apples on top. That's what they were making the weekend we were there. But Nick and the Caskies, who run that place, talk about the fact that their menu changes all the time, and they like to incorporate, you know, local ingredients and seasonal ingredients and, you know, make for a really great breakfast or brunch. They're only open on the weekends for breakfast. Uh-huh. It's really a memorable one. It's really good.
292-8513 if you'd like to join in our discussion, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about breakfast joints here in Columbus and around the country. Our guest is
Rick Seebeck.
Rick Seebeck, the producer of the breakfast special for PBS. Rick, when I put the DVD in, I thought it was going to be about food, but the breakfast special really isn't about food. It's about the community that develops around breakfast. It's the workers. It's the owners of these places. It's the regulars. It's the out-of-towners who stumble upon these places. Breakfast is a real community meal, more so than lunch or dinner even.
Yeah, you know what? I hadn't thought about that, but I think you're right. It is more than the other two meals. It's a time when maybe we're all a little bit, still sort of waking up, and we're more open to being nice and talking to the person that's sitting next to you. And I think a lot of the places that we cover in this show do have counters. I love to sit at the counter because it does seem to, you know, be an opening. And who you sit next to, it's perfectly okay to ask them to pass the salt and pepper, mm-hmm. you know, pass the hot sauce, whatever. And I know they're at the best in Westerville. Tom always says, if somebody sits at the counter, I've got him. Mm-hmm. Because he just charms them, you know, and they get to see all the food being made.
Breakfast eaters like to see their food cooked, it seems. I mean, I really don't want to see my, you know, pork chops cooked, but, you know, I like to see the eggs and the hash brown cooked on the grill there.
I think everybody does, you know, and it's obvious that it's fresh, but I also think there's a little bit of that. Where do people like to congregate at a party? In the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I think if the place is right, you get that party atmosphere. And you get, you know, the feeling that, you know, yeah, I've just stopped by and these people have invited me in and I'm going to have breakfast here. I'll pay them later, but for the while, it's as though you're a friend and you're stopping by and you're part of the family. And actually, you know, they're at the best in Westerville. That was one of the places where that really came through. And the love of the customers mm-hmm. for that place and their reliance on it, I think, was really great. And, it's fun to celebrate things like that. I think it's something that public television does really well. When we go to these places, we're celebrating places that usually aren't on TV. You know, they're places that aren't going to be advertising, you know, with big advertising campaigns or anything. But we can sort of point things out to people. And I think by showing a place, we sort of open the door. You feel almost as though you've been there once. Mm-hmm. And now you can go back and, you know, feel like you've already been there once. And you're going to come back and have a great time and be relaxed and know what things are like.
Or even if you've never been to that place, it reminds you of a place where you used to have breakfast at some point in your life. A small little breakfast joint that, you know, wasn't very fancy, but the food was good. And you went there on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning and just read the paper and ate your breakfast.
Right. Well, actually, the way you began the program today, I thought was perfect, because I think we do, most of us, eat breakfast at home. And, you know, it's quick. And actually, we toyed around with a little promotional line, there's more to life than a bowl of cold cereal, because I think going out for breakfast is special. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the breakfast special, going out for breakfast. But at the same time, it reinforces other parts of being human. It makes us a community. It makes us, you know, check in with our neighbors and, you know, have a little time and a little fun and, you know, catch up on gossip.
Yep.
It's part of being human.
All right, Rick Seebeck, the producer of Breakfast Special. It airs tonight on WOSU-TV at 8 o'clock. Rick, good luck with the program, and good luck with the sequel as you're starting to plan it.
Excellent. Thank you so much, and thanks to all those people there in Columbus, because everybody treated us great.
All right. When we come back, we'll meet two of the owners of the two of the restaurants that Rick profiles in Breakfast Special when All Sides continues on WOSU NPR News.
And as you just heard, tonight at 8 on WOSU-TV, learn new ways to start the day with the Breakfast Special. Rick Seebeck visits interesting and unusual breakfast spots around the country, including two restaurants in our own backyard. Local eateries Skillet in German Village and The Best in Westerville are featured in this national search to see what's cooking for breakfast. You can watch the program tonight at 8 on WOSU-TV. Currently 76 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:22 this morning. Sunny skies today and a high of 88 degrees. Clear skies tonight and a low right around 68. Warm for tomorrow, sunny skies and a high of 90. And then a chance of rain Thursday night, maybe a thunderstorm after 10 o'clock and a low of 69 degrees. Looking ahead to Friday, there is a chance of showers and thunderstorms, otherwise mostly cloudy, and a high near 90. All Sides with Ann Fisher with guest host Mike Thompson continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today. We are talking about breakfast, even though we're approaching lunchtime. But as we are learning during the course of this hour, that breakfast isn't just for mornings. It's for all day. And a lot of these restaurants that are profiled in the documentary Breakfast Special serve breakfast all day. Two of the restaurants profiled in this documentary, which airs tonight at 8 o'clock on WOSU-TV, are right here in Central Ohio. We have it's called Skillet, Skillet in German Village, a rustic urban food, and Kevin Caskey is the owner. Kevin, welcome to All Sides.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And The Best Breakfast and Sandwiches, a breakfast and lunch joint in Westerville. Its owner is Tom Spangler. Tom, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks.
Tom, you call yourself a cook, not a chef. What's the difference?
I've never been technically, trained to be a chef. I've been in the restaurant business for eons, loved to cook. But most of my experience has just been trial and error and working in a lot of chain restaurants, doing everything from sweeping the floors, doing dishes, and broiling steaks. So I've never been a saucier or a pastry chef. I'm just a guy who loves to cook and loves to see smiling faces on people that I serve food to.
You mentioned in the documentary you worked at these chain and corporate restaurants for much of your career, but you decided to go out on your own. Why did you do that?
Lots of reasons. If you've been in the corporate world for as long as I have, it becomes inevitable that you just want to work for yourself. You don't want anybody pulling your chain and telling you what to do anymore. And I would rather depend on myself and put my money against what I can accomplish versus taking a paycheck from someone else.
And it's a tough go, though. It's a risky move.
It was really difficult, especially when you're beginning a new concept that's never been tried. It's not a franchise. It's sticking your neck out and just being sure that you can do what you know you can do in a place that you can do it, and through your personality and through the great food and through the help that you train and you support and through your innovations that you're going to bring people in to help you support you, and that's what we've been able to accomplish.
Tom, how would you describe the fare at your restaurant, breakfast fare?
We're very simple, basic, down home, very fresh ingredients, and it's huge portions, reasonable price. Once you come in, it's the personality of the place too. Mm-hmm. It's not merely just the great food. It's the personality of the people we have working there. We truly do care about everybody that walks in the door, and we get to know them. Mm-hmm. And they come back often and regularly to be a part of that.
Okay. We're talking about breakfast here on All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today. We're doing this because tonight at 8 o'clock on WOSU-TV, we're airing a special called Breakfast Special, in which the producer profiles breakfast joints all around the country, including two here in Central Ohio, The Best Breakfast and Sandwiches in Westerville, and Skillet, which is in German Village. And the co-owner of Skillet is Kevin Caskey. Kevin, it's rustic urban food. What exactly is rustic urban food that you serve?
That's kind of an attitude that we've adopted as far as the preparations that we wanted to represent ourselves with at Skillet. We like to take what is a comfort classic or something that is the familiar and perhaps give it a more urban edge, if you will, whether that be allowing one ingredient in that dish on the center of the plate to kind of stand on its own, kind of restraining ourselves in its preparation, or perhaps in the presentation of the dish, taking it a little bit out of that familiar into the unfamiliar, if you will.
You're new at this. You opened fairly recently, correct?
With this particular concept, this is a newer concept that opened approximately a year ago.
Why breakfast over dinner?
Well, breakfast as a day part was something that we only feature on Saturday and Sundays for brunch service. We offer an additional lunch and dinner service through
the
week as well.
Oh, you do have lunch and dinner.
That is correct.
All right.
That's correct. But again, just with a nod to general demand in the local area, and it's something that we enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm. What makes breakfast different than other day parts as far as being a restaurant owner and a restaurant worker and a cook and a chef? What makes breakfast different? Tom?
I think if you ask most people in the food industry which meal they hate to cook, they're probably going to tell you breakfast. Mm-hmm. It's although it's a simple process, you have to love it and you have to enjoy it because it's extremely fast-paced. And from my opinion, I've always loved it because, as I say in the special, people haven't had a chance to be in a bad mood yet. So you get people on their good sides before they had an argument with the wife or the kids didn't get off to school or or their boss hasn't done something wrong. So they're generally in a good mood. They come in to not only eat the meal but to be a part of your life and for you to be a part of their lives. And they like to read the paper and they like to have coffee and they like to get their day started right. And they do that through breakfast. It's almost the Cheers of the bar world. They're there for a reason, and that's to get their day going. And they come to you to do that for them.
Kevin, at the Skillet, you don't – for breakfast anyway, you don't have servers. They come up to the window and they order. Why is that?
Well, originally when the show was produced, that was the part of the service platform. We have added table service at this point.
Okay.
So that will not be indicated on the program this evening. But again, even without that counter service atmosphere, we're still able, because of the communal aspect of breakfast as a day part meal, we're still able to take a little bit of a slower pace than you normally would during lunch and dinner, and therefore be able to position yourself to make a personal connection with your guests. It's kind of a two-way street, both with us and with them, further, as Rick mentioned several times during the conversation this morning, the community aspect of breakfast as a meal.
You don't have that same you don't see that same community at dinner time?
Not always. Mm-hmm. Not always. People generally, sometimes at lunch because of the the shortened or limited amount of time that most people get to enjoy for lunch. Oftentimes with dinner, they're rightly so more interested in their company that's sitting across from them at dinner. Breakfast seems to be the time that people are most vulnerable, most open as far as sharing of themselves. And it's a nice way to start the day, a nice way to start conversations with your guests.
292-8513. If you'd like to join in our conversation, perhaps you've eaten at either of these two restaurants or you have your own breakfast joint you'd like to recommend to our listeners. 292-8513. Or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And, of course, we have in addition to the TV special we're airing tonight, we have a special website, wosu.org/breakfast, easy to remember. And these two restaurant owners have been very generous in that if you eat at either Skillet in German Village or the Best Breakfast and Sandwiches in Westerville next week, during the week of July 19th through the 23rd, you eat there, you can help support WOSU. During that week, the two restaurants will donate 5% of your total bill to WOSU Public Media. And to get more information and to find the coupon that will help us as you enjoy your breakfast at these two places, go to our website, wosu.org/breakfast. Tom, is breakfast more risky than other day parts for a restaurant owner? There's no booze and no alcohol sales for breakfast, and that's a big moneymaker.
No, I don't think so. It's always risky in a restaurant business. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's more ways to lose money than make money in this business. But what's interesting, and I was going to mention, we dabbled in dinner for a short period of time when we first opened, and our regular customers got mad because we weren't serving breakfast in the evening. So it's not just a breakfast meal. It's something you can have all day long, and people enjoy it. And actually, quite honestly, your costs are probably lower at breakfast than they are during the other meals at most times of the year, depending on the markets and what they're doing. But it's actually a very profitable thing if you do it correctly and you can gather a loyal gathering.
Mm-hmm. Are breakfast restaurants recession-proof? More so than an expensive dinner restaurant or things like that. People always want to have breakfast, and it's pretty reasonable cost.
Maybe not recession-proof. You certainly have a lot of work in order for yourself, you know, to maintain a following. But from the standpoint of a lower price point, there's a little bit of protection leveraged into that because of the lower price points that you normally see on menu retails for the breakfast segment.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as long as you supply a comfortable place for your guests to come where they can feel very happy to be there and they want to surround themselves with people that are like them and that it makes them feel good, that kind of is the edge against the recession for us in that business because we do supply that for them. And they come there not only for the food but for the comfort.
Mm-hmm. 292-8513 if you'd like to chat with our guests, two restaurant owners, Kevin Caskey from Skillet in German Village and Tom Spangler from the best breakfast and sandwiches in Westerville. Tom, how long have you been in business, your shop?
We are in the halfway through our third year.
Third year.
Yes.
Okay. What's the secret to a good restaurant joint? It's a pretty simple atmosphere. I mean, you have pictures on the wall. It's clean. It's nice, but it's nothing fancy.
Well, ever since I've started in the business many, many, many years ago, and as many companies I've worked for, they've always said one thing, you know, clean environment, great food, great customer service and a comfortable place to be, but no one does that. And I think both Kevin and I have proven that we can do that and it can be done and it can be back to the grassroots of what the industry is supposed to be all about. Mm-hmm. And I think it's proven from both our parts that that's what we do and that's what makes it work.
As Tom mentioned, it sounds like a fairly simple formula, if you will, mm-hmm. to engender success in the business. However, as he mentioned, it's sometimes rarely done or rarely seen. I think as an owner, you've got to open yourself up to be a part of the business as well. And that lends to both Tom's as well as my success mm-hmm. as I've experienced through the years.
You can't own a breakfast. Well, maybe you can, but it wouldn't be as fun if you owned a breakfast restaurant
and
you sat in the back and just did the books all day.
You got to be out there for the guests. You know, they're there to see you. And you're the one building and you're the one setting the pace of the business. You're the one setting the laughter and you're the one setting the customer service. And you know, they want to come in and have fun with you. And they want to see you there actively participating in the daily events, no matter what they are.
One of the things I took from the documentary Breakfast Special is the special type of worker it takes to work breakfast. I mean, I worked at a restaurant as a dishwasher, and I hated breakfast because I hated having to clean the eggs off of plates. But I wasn't out front dealing with people and seeing people and serving them. What type of worker do you need to be a good breakfast cook or a server at a breakfast joint?
Obviously, well, with a very positive attitude. Not only is this a very tough industry to be successful in at any level, whether as an owner or as an employee, but often I think because of the early morning hours, it takes a special type of person, somebody with a very sunny, cheerful disposition, someone that's very outgoing, someone that's confident in themselves as a person that can lend their own personality to the business as well.
What time do you start your day for breakfast?
We start our day, as far as opening, is 8 in the morning. We're there by 6.
Tom, how about you? What time do you start your day?
About 5 a.m. We open at 6, so we start pretty early.
Do you have people waiting there at 6 to come in usually?
We have a group of regulars that are like clockwork. Uh-huh. When I see them pull up, I know exactly what time it is, and I know what I have to have done before they get there. And so they're more on time than I am. Sometimes I waver a few minutes here and there, depending on how rough the night was before. But it's a niche, and someone really has to want to do that, to be at work at 6 a.m. with a smile on your face and forget about all your problems and be there for your customers. It's difficult, and it does take a special individual to do that. And, you know, my hat's off to all those people that do that out there in the world because mm-hmm. it's tough.
Are regulars the backbone of a successful breakfast restaurant?
Absolutely. In my restaurant, that's absolutely correct because it's all been word-of-mouth advertising for me. We've never advertised. It's all been the people that came in the first day are still with me 3 years later. And, you know, I see them two and three times a day or many times a week. And, you know, they're there. They all have a story in their life, you know, and they want to share that with you and they want to tell you. They want to make you laugh and they want to make you cry. You know, I'm there through – I've been there through heart attacks and, you know, I've been there through weddings. And you know, they make you feel part of that with because it's their life.
Was it your – I think it was your restaurant where the man said that he's a regular, but he just kind of let it slip that he just had a heart attack and had to adjust his menu a little bit.
Not my fault. My gravy does not have heart attack medicine. We you know, unfortunately, we've lost some of our guests, mm-hmm. and it's really hurtful when we don't see them. As mm-hmm. I tell, and, we have one gentleman we hadn't seen. I asked my wife the other day, "Have you seen Jerry?" And she said no. And so I went and found him. You know, I tracked down where he worked and where he was at, and I went and found him. And I said, mm-hmm. "Where have you been? You know, yeah. We're just worried about you. I don't care if you know if you come to eat, that's your choice. We want to make sure you're okay." And he got pretty weepy about it, you know, because somebody actually cared enough about him to come say, wow, you know, these are just people that I go eat and they care that much to come track me down to make sure that I'm safe. You know, so that's kind of the attitude that we take. And I think that's the edge that we have with our customers. That's a very positive thing.
Have you had to adjust your menu because of the, you know, the emphasis on healthy living and trying to, reduce obesity and things like that? A good hearty breakfast doesn't always match, you know, those efforts.
Well, with a nod to a healthier discipline, obviously we want to open ourselves up to those that are pursuing that diet, of course. Mm-hmm. As a general rule, though, we tend to follow the seasons, things that are locally produced within 150, 200 mile radius or so. Because of that, it allows us to put on the plate a lot of things that are fresh and seasonal. But above and beyond just standard breakfast fare presented our way, there are always a few things that we like to have on the menu that are either vegetarian based or vegan based. Again, for those that are looking for that type of meal or entree.
And Tom, you have egg beaters. The man who I mentioned in one of your regulars now eats egg beaters instead of.
We have a tremendous amount of people that eat egg beaters. It's amazing the way the trends in society have gone. You know, in this industry. And we try to, you know, we use all fresh produce and everything we get is extremely fresh. And we have really over the last couple years cut down on the sodium we put in a lot of our products and things like the small things that we can do. But again, not being a chef, I'm not schooled in all the fine things that you should do to the food. It's pretty basic fare at our restaurant.
Uh-huh. How about your location? I mean, the Skillet is in German Village. People can walk there very easily. Yours is more of a... It's more of a small shopping center, correct, Tom?
Yeah, we're extremely hidden. We're in a very bad location. If you were a restaurateur trying to find a great location for your restaurant, you would not pick where we are. Mm-hmm. But as Kevin will tell you, you know, it's all about cost. And it was what we could afford when we wanted to do it. And I had enough confidence in myself and my wife that I knew with what we had planned, we could make it work in a D location, let's say. And we've proven that, you know. And it's become kind of a wow, I know about this place, but you can't find it, you know. Yeah. And people really think it's cool because, you know, it's way back hidden, but I got to tell you where it's at because you'll never find it if you try to go get it. You know, you have to ask me because then I can tell you where to go. And so it's been kind of a neat plus for us to have a bad location.
Yeah, one of my favorite breakfast joints from years ago was it was tough to park there, but that was part of the appeal because if it was tough to find a parking space, that means it's pretty good, first of all, and it's you could tell you're in a neighborhood, you're in a community. You're not just, you know, at a corner of a shopping mall.
That's our situation as well. We're in the German Village Schumacher Place area, which is a very pedestrian market, as you brought out. A lot of those folks that live in the surrounding area, the surrounding neighborhoods, they park their car on Friday and don't take it back out again until Monday morning. They like to eat local. They like to shop local. Mm-hmm. And they like to walk while they're doing these activities, whether it be for health reasons or not. Parking's an issue with us as well. But because of that, that kind of lends to the desire or to the appeal of the place in trying to frequent it more often.
Okay. Thanks very much. We have been speaking with Kevin Caskey, owner of Skillet, Restaurant in German Village, and Tom Spangler, owner of Best Breakfast and Sandwiches in Westerville, two of the restaurants profiled on tonight's breakfast special on WOSU-TV at 8 o'clock. And a reminder, if you eat at either of these restaurants next week, the 19th through the 23rd, 5% of your bill will go to help WOSU Public Media. So you can check out these two fine restaurants and also support WOSU at the same time. So thank you, gentlemen, for that, and good luck to you in the future.
Thank you. It was fun. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
We'll open the phones up, talk to a couple of food bloggers, and get your take on your favorite breakfast restaurant in Central Ohio. And All Sides continues on WOSU NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, a secretive website with no official headquarters and thousands of leaked, untraceable, classified documents. We speak with investigative reporter Philip Sheenan about WikiLeaks, the site that invites whistleblowers to share their secrets. In April, it posted a horrifying video shot from a military helicopter in Iraq. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. 76 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:41 this morning. Sunshine today and a high reaching right around 88. Clear skies tonight and a low of 68 degrees. Sunny skies for Thursday and a high again near 90. And then a chance of rain Thursday night with a low right around 70 degrees. There's also a chance of rain and maybe a thunderstorm on Friday, otherwise cloudy skies and a high near 90 degrees. And as you've been hearing, tonight at 8 on WOSU-TV, learn new ways to start the day with the breakfast special. Rick Seaback visits interesting and unusual breakfast spots around the country, including two restaurants right here in Columbus, local eateries Skillet in German Village and The Best in Westerville, are featured in this national search to see what's cooking for breakfast. See why there's more to breakfast than a bowl of cold cereal tonight at 8 on WOSU-TV. All Sides continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann Fisher today. We are talking breakfast. Tonight on WOSU-TV, we air Breakfast Special, which profiles several restaurant breakfast restaurant joints around the country, including two here in Central Ohio. And for the next few minutes, we're going to open up the phones. We'll get your breakfast joint. Where do you like to hang out in the morning to get your eggs and bacon and hash browns and all that good stuff? Our guests, Nick Decker. He is host of the blog Breakfast with Nick and also stars in the breakfast special tonight. You
That's
were the
right.
one who tipped off the producers to these two places in Central Ohio. Nick, mm-hmm. welcome to All Sides.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
And Lisa Dillman. She is the host of the blog Restaurant Widow. Lisa, welcome to All Sides.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And we take your calls at 292-8513, 292-8513. Just about 16 minutes left in the program. So if you've got a favorite breakfast joint you want to share and recommend to our listeners, please do so quickly. You can also do it by emailing us at allsides@wosu.org. And even after the program, you can continue this discussion. Look for our Facebook page as well. Nick, let's start with you. What makes a good breakfast joint in Central Ohio?
In Central Ohio and here in Columbus, we have a good mix of things. I think like Tom and Kevin just talked about, someplace that is very comfortable, very welcoming. I think it's easy to forget that. But once you experience it, you realize that that makes a good place. A place that does simple food and very fresh makes a big impact, too. That I think that plays into the comfort factor as well as something that you recognize almost maybe something you can make at home or, you know, but maybe not. Maybe something that's kind of a treat when you go out, too. So I think those are big things, you know, especially the welcome. I think that really helps sell people on a breakfast place.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, would you agree it's the people preparing and serving the food and the people sitting next to you that makes the joint mm-hmm. a real joint?
I think that's a huge part of it. And also, like Nick said, really fresh ingredients, mm-hmm. really good eggs, and the ability to cook them perfectly.
Yes.
In quick service. I mean, breakfast. Exactly. You know, sometimes you're leisurely reading your newspaper or chatting on a Saturday or Sunday morning. But if you want to eat on a Wednesday, you got to get in and out quick.
Mm-hmm.
It's like lunch.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lisa, besides, what is your favorite breakfast joint in town?
Oh, I would probably have to give the nod to Skillet. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love them on the weekends. And, yeah, great. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Skillet, which is profiled in this documentary tonight. How about you, Nick?
Well, to round things out, actually, best breakfast and sandwiches is usually my number one choice. It's one of the reasons I took Rick there this last fall. Sometimes it depends what you're looking for, because different places have different feels, whether you want sort of the diner feel or you want something like Skillet that has sort of a funky touch on things, or every place has their own specialties.
Mm-hmm. Big portions, is that a key to a good breakfast place? Mm. Or not so much anymore?
A lot of places still do big portions, but I think if you have something that's really well done, the size of it doesn't matter. I mean, I really don't know any breakfast place in town that won't feed you more than you need.
I like the a la carte ordering because I love standard breakfast, but I also like really love pancakes, so I have to be able to have at least a pancake on the side, even if I only have like three bites. I don't know. I'm just, I never know what I want to get, so I have to get everything. Bacon, eggs,
the mix of things,
potatoes,
pancake.
Yeah.
I've never been a big fan of breakfast buffets. I want to come in, sit down, and have somebody either at the counter slide it in front of me or have a waiter or waitress come over.
I agree.
Yeah,
eggs
I agree.
Should not sit around for a long time.
Nope. Bacon shouldn't be. Yeah. And any of not much breakfast stuff holds up to the buffet line.
Yeah.
All right. Let's open up the phone lines. This is a fun part where people get to share their favorites. Yeah. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, you're on all sides.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for hanging on with us. Go ahead, Kevin.
I just want to say my absolute favorite place is Paul's Pantry in Grandview. And after listening to your guest, I just couldn't help but agree with everything they were saying. And I think somebody just mentioned the different, you know, feel of restaurants. And Paul's has a very traditional, low-key feel. And the focus is just on the people you're there with, the food you're eating. And let's say after about a $20 meal, myself and my parents, we left feeling like we were ready to fast for about 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, it's a lot of food. I mean, definitely you get a bang for your buck there. And it's in Grandview, right close to Grandview High School. And it's a fun place. So, yeah.
Cool.
Good to know.
Thank you, Kevin. Either of you been to that place?
Not yet. I've heard good things, but haven't been there.
Nope.
Rick has a recommendation. Go ahead, Rick. You're on the air. Hi, Rick. You still there?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to tout Waffle House on 161 and 71. The reason I like that restaurant is because of one product they sell. Hash browns are to kill for.
Will they kill you? That's the question.
Yeah, they might kill you. But they offer hash browns and you can add a million different ingredients, and they have code names for all those ingredients.
Ooh.
I think
scattered and smothered.
And, you know, they have all these code names for the stuff you can add. But there's something about the grease that they use to fry it in. It's the best hash browns imaginable.
It's that faux butter.
Okay.
I will confess that in the lobby, I just told Nick that you really can't beat the hash browns from Waffle House.
Hmm.
Hardly anyone serves hash browns. And I'm talking about the shredded ones that are cooked on the flat top and they're crispy.
Uh-huh.
And they're very hard to make properly. And I gotta say, Waffle House just, you know, and their line cooks, their short order cooks are really fascinating to watch. Actually, any busy breakfast joint, the short order cooks are like, that is some skill right there.
Yeah, but, I mean, the documentary focuses on the family owned joints, but the chains, they do okay.
Yeah, there's some that do things well. I mean, Ohio, we've claimed to Bob Evans, which is, that's a great breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and you know, when you're traveling, that's great because you know exactly what you're going to get.
Yep.
When you see a Bob Evans sign on the highway.
Cracker Barrel,
First Watch chain here in Central Ohio is always packed and serves a good breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So
to
give the chains their due, they're not the evil empire.
Not always.
They can do a good breakfast as well. Let's go to Frank. Frank, you're on the air on all sides on WOSU.
Yeah, I have to agree with the best and Skillet. And Paul's are the best in town. I just don't understand why people can't make breakfast taste good. other than them. It's unbelievable. I mean, Tom, at the best, makes corned beef hash that's to die for.
Yeah, he's famous for that.
Yeah, I've been a chef all my life, and I love the food there because it's real.
Yeah.
And that's what's missing. I mean, I don't want to mention any names, but a lot of the chains, they just, I don't understand why everything has to be prepackaged.
Because it's bad eggs, I'm telling you.
Yep.
Yeah,
eggs are what helps sell.
Yeah. It's a terrible thing. It really is. I mean, it's food.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Frank.
My pleasure.
I think that's one of the appeals of a breakfast is, well, first, you don't have to cook it yourself. You don't have to do the dishes afterwards.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to cook corned beef hash, you know, or I'm not going to
whip up hollandaise.
Yeah, or what is it the skillet serves? It's the duck hash.
The duck hash.
Yeah, sweet potato. I mean, yeah.
Sweet potato duck hash is what it is, right? And they have duck eggs.
Yes, they do. Actually, you know, one of the things that made me love skillet so much the first time is walking in there and you used to order at the counter. Now it's table service. Mm-hmm. And I just looked over there and in the mise en place in the kitchen where they have all their ingredients set up is a tub which has like 4 or 5 different kinds of eggs. And I was like, this is why I love you.
Yeah.
Duck eggs and...
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Yeah.
292-8513, 292-8513, as we approach the lunch hour, if you're listening in the morning. Breakfast never ends, though. We're talking breakfast here on WOSU and all sides. And Craig, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. Has anybody said TJ's? I like TJ's Barnyard Buster.
I might have to disagree with you on that, Craig, but it does have its time and place. Let's say that.
Well, you can't eat it if you're looking after your cholesterol, but I enjoy
no.
it.
It's good for fourth meal. Isn't that what, like after the bars?
Yep. Yes. That's. I had a reader who, I reviewed TJ's and a reader wrote me and he said, you know, you need to go back at 3 a.m. when you're more than a little bit tipsy and that's when you order it. And I was like, okay, fair enough, but that's not a good recommendation.
All right.
They do have hash browns and home fries.
They do, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Craig. I mean, I guess some of the good restaurants, good breakfast restaurants, start serving at 1 or 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The all-night diners and things like that where you can get breakfast at,
yep.
On your way home rather
exactly.
than on your way to work.
Yes. That's it. That's it.
All right. The chains, we talk about the chains. Mm-hmm. Can they, in the individually owned restaurants, the family-owned breakfast restaurants, can they coexist or are the chains squeezing out the locally owned ones?
I think if you're judging by Columbus, the locally owned ones are doing just fine. And, you know, nothing really against the chains, mm-hmm. but, I mean, we have, at least here in Columbus, we have so many great local places that all have their very loyal clientele. I mean, it's like every time I find one place, two more crop up with very loyal customers who are like, no, you don't need to go there. You need to go to this place in our neighborhood because this is the best. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of those places will survive very well because people are hanging on to that neighborhood identity. Mm-hmm. You know the people there. You know the cook, so on and so forth.
Exactly.
Lisa, does it perhaps you stand a better chance as an individually owned restaurant operator to get into the restaurant business because of that community aspect?
It's tough
no matter what, I'm sure.
Yeah, I do think for breakfast, maybe it's a little, I don't want to say easier. It's never easy in the restaurant business. But, you know, with breakfast, people frequently don't want to travel very far for breakfast. So, you know, Tom was saying earlier and Kevin was saying earlier, like, they have lots of people from their neighborhood who are loyal, and it's because they're good and they're friendly and they make you feel at home. So,
Is a long line a good thing for a breakfast? I mean, it's obviously good for a breakfast place, but can the lines get too long?
Well, it's I've been to places where the lines have felt too long, but more often than not, that's a good sign.
That's a very good sign.
I mean, yeah, if people are waiting that long for something as simple as eggs or pancakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
There must be something special about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Another recommendation. Patricia, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, good morning. I'm enjoying your show. Another good place for hash browns is Jack and Benny's on High Street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real good. And
I
was thinking about the comment the gentleman from Westerville had said about friendly people and with the regulars and wondering, you know, if someone is missing for a while. This isn't necessarily a breakfast place per se, but I go to coffee at the Caribou in Clintonville, and it has that family feel where if you don't see someone for a couple weeks, it's like, hey, what happened to so-and-so? Well, you know, she's sick, and people send cards. And if you want to meet nice people, go to the Caribou, and if you want some good hash browns, go to Jack and Benny's.
We're on High Street in Clintonville, Patricia?
Yes, okay. Yes. Great staff. Wonderful, wonderful people. Regulars are so nice, but it's just like your third place. From the moment you walk in, you feel a part of the group. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not a breakfast place, but it's just one of those places where really
contribute
cool
to
people
their staff.
Hang out. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Patricia. Bye-bye. Appreciate the call. 292-8513, although we only have a couple minutes left and a lot of people waiting. Let's go to Mark and try to get through as many of these calls as we can. Go ahead, Mark. You're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to recommend Starliner Diner in Hilliard.
Yeah.
They always have great specials, and I love their huevos rancheros with the black meat.
Mm-hmm. Chilaquiles also.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've eaten there for dinner. It's terrific. I've had a very nice dinner there. I've never eaten there for breakfast, though.
Oh, breakfast
is great.
Awesome. Yes.
Yep. It's many
huge
people's favorite.
Portions.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's good.
It's a diner. It has to be when you say diner, you think breakfast, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
I think long counter, stools, booths, very small place.
Yeah. Community, interacting with the cook. And
you can see and hear everything in the kitchen.
Do you need to have an ornery waitress?
I was just going to say, a surly waitress at the counter never hurt anyone.
Yep.
So if you're struggling in the restaurant business as a waitress or a waiter at night, maybe breakfast could be a place.
Maybe that's what I should do.
There you go.
Let your personality shine and increase your tips. Let's go to another Patricia on line two. Go ahead, Patricia. You're on the air. You still there, Patricia? Well, she was going to, I'm not sure, she was going to recommend Tasi and Cafe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where is that?
That's in Short North on Pearl, I believe. Mm-hmm. And they're fantastic. They have some of my favorite French toast and biscuits and gravy in town. They make a challah French toast. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ed, you're on the air.
Yes, two places that I like, the Toledo-based chain Scrambler Marie's. They always, they're consistent. They always have a very friendly staff. I don't know if that's why they hire them, but they're very good. And also another walk-in neighborhood place like Skillet down in German Village is the German Village Coffee House. They have been consistent there for years. Just an old-time diner, and the staff has been around for a long time, and it's just a good, friendly neighborhood feel place.
Institution.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call, Ed. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good recommendations.
What's the average lifespan of a breakfast restaurant? Is it longer than a regular restaurant from your – I know you probably have, I haven't done studies, but anecdotally –
there's a lot of breakfast places that have been around for a long time. Yeah. I mean, like German Village Coffee Shop, that's – I don't know how many years, but it's
– Jack and Benny's.
Yeah, Benny's been around a long time.
As long as I can remember.
Nancy's Home Cooking in Clintonville, even though they closed a little bit last year, they've come back, and that's been going on 40 years. So, it seems like it. That's part of the charm.
Definitely.
Lisa, do the best restaurant, best breakfast restaurants have menus, or are you just written up on a board somewhere?
I think it's kind of a requirement that they should have some kind of laminated menu. I don't know if it's because of Waffle House, but just to be able to wipe the egg yolk off.
All right. Beth has been waiting the longest of those still on the line. Beth, you're on the air.
Hi there. I would like to recommend the Wildflower Cafe in Clintonville.
Oh, yeah.
I particularly like their blueberry pancakes. And
I haven't tried those.
I think their sausage is really good. It tastes like a homemade sausage to me.
Okay.
Those are my favorite things. And just the atmosphere, it's kind of homey and comfortable.
Yep. Okay. Good. It's in my neighborhood. Hit that every once in a while.
Yeah. Yep. Right. Yep.
Thanks for the call.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
We just have about a minute left, so we won't be able to get to any more calls. What's more important at these restaurants? Is it the food or the community?
Oh, boy.
You need to have good food.
You need to have good food. But I've seen places with a very strong community that overcomes just average food or basic breakfast food that you could get anywhere. So community might edge it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Lisa?
Speed, community.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Don't forget, 8 o'clock tonight, breakfast special on WOSU-TV. Check it out. You can see these restaurants yourself and go to our website, wosu.org/breakfast, for more information. Thanks to our guests, Nick Decker from Breakfast with Nick and Lisa Dillman, the Restaurant Widow. Thanks very much. It's been fun.
Thank you.
This is All Sides on WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at wosu.org. WOSU 820 NPR News.